Sports Podcast with Asmer Begovic.
Welcome to another episode of the Season of Sports with me, Asmer Begovic, where today we're going to be talking about the NHL restart. And I've got a very special guest here with me today, Gene Principe, sports and reporter over in Edmonton, also an Edmonton Oilers insider. Gene, welcome to the show.
Hey, Asmer, thanks for having me. Kind of neat to be on the other side of the microphone.
I was just about to say, I mean, you've had the pleasure of interviewing me before, so
yeah,
the pleasure is all mine.
You know what? It's kind of funny because, I wouldn't say that people don't care what we think, but generally we're about trying to get the best answers, the best comments from the athlete. So now you're interviewing, so I'm kind of like, this is kind of different, but neat at the same time.
There you go. Absolutely. Well, no, I've been quite excited about the NHL plans, and now that the plans have sort of come together over the last few days here, I thought who better to call than you. So there you go. It's worked out really well. So thanks for joining me here. So we're going to get into some of the details here for the NHL restart. I guess first and foremost, new collective bargaining agreement has been agreed. The NHL restart protocol has been agreed. Two hub cities, Edmonton will host the Western Conference, Toronto will host the Eastern Conference. I mean, you being in Edmonton, what's the feeling like in Edmonton? I mean, are they quite excited to get these teams over there? Is there a bit of anxiety? What's the general feeling with people over there? What's the current situation?
You know, Asmir, you probably covered it all with your question. You know, I think there's definitely a sense of excitement. It was, I wouldn't quite call it like hosting an Olympics, but you know that there's always a buildup when you get down to X amount of cities that are pushing to host an Olympics. Again, I'm not saying these are the Olympic Games, but considering what hockey and the sports world and the world's been going through, it was very exciting for any of the final 10 cities to have a shot at being a hub city. And then to actually get it in Edmonton's case Edmonton was kind of like a horse race. They were in the pack all the way through, close to the front, maybe never leading. But as more numbers, particularly around COVID, started to flush out in many of the American cities, and just dealing with all the health ramifications, Edmonton kind of slowly moved to the front of the pack alongside Toronto. And Edmonton, I guess, in a sense, won the race because, you know, barring any changes, they'll have the conference finals and the Stanley Cup final. So I think there's that excitement. And then the other part is that Edmonton is in the playoffs. I'm not sure that the city would have been as enamored with the idea if their own team wasn't involved. So it's kind of a win-win all around. It's a Canadian city that loves its hockey, whether it's, 30 degrees Celsius or minus 30 degrees. They're always in love with the game. So it's worked out great for Edmonton anyways.
Well, knowing Edmonton the way I do, this is pretty much getting the Olympics. So I think this is as close as it's going to get for them. So I think they couldn't draw it up any better. So I think it's really cool. But what's the general setup going to be like? I mean, where are the teams going to be hosted? Where are they going to be sited, accommodated? What's the protocol? Obviously, there won't be any fans at games. What's the actual plan exactly as, Edmonton being a hub city?
Yeah, hotel-wise, so six teams will stay. Initially, what they wanted to do, Asmir, is just have the team, as in, for example, on your squad, you'd have the players, you'd have the equipment staff, you'd have the training staff, medical staff, all together, and then extra staff would be separate. But what they've now done is, so six teams, the top six teams in the Western Conference, which includes Edmonton, will stay at the JW Marriott, which is a hotel that is really, truly, literally, and figuratively connected to the rink. So imagine a hotel, and this isn't as sexy looking as it actually looks, but a pathway, a tunnel above ground that takes you to the rink. And so you literally do not have to go outside. Then you'll have the other six teams staying at a hotel, Sutton Place, which is probably about another block or so away. They will have to go outdoors to get on a bus, and then the bus would go down the ramp right directly into Rogers Place. what they're believing is going to be the case is more of a, like the Olympics, more of a security zone. So it won't be that you just sort of stay in your hotel and go right to the rink. There'll be an area where you can get out. You can go outside for a coffee. Now, how far outside is to be determined, but you at least have some outdoor space or outdoor time as opposed to everything being indoors. And then the practice rink, which has four ice facilities, is about a 15 to 20 minute bus ride away. So that'll be locked down for the teams that decide to practice there. There also is a practice rink attached to the main rink. So there's lots of ice surfaces. They're also talking, Asmir, I mean, some of these teams could be in there for 60 plus days. There's a beautiful golf course, the Mayfair Golf and Country Club, which is about a 15 minute bus ride. So there's the idea that they will be able to get out, but it'll be very controlled. It'll be very limited. But at the same time, they don't want players to feel fully locked down. And then the final, I guess, part of it is that the teams that advance to the conference final and the Stanley Cup final will be allowed to bring their families in with them to join them at the hotel so that, you know, it's a 35-day stay away from family, 40, and then you might have, you know, 3 to 4 weeks where your family, if you want, can join you.
Sounds like they've done their work on this, and I think all protocols are being met. I mean, I know from our experience over here in Italy, I think the buildup was always the worst thing because they were trying to put everything in place. But actually, once you get going, you do feel pretty safe and everything gets kind of to be the new normal for now anyway. So I hope that's going to be the case over there. I guess just going over a bit of the schedule. So as of today, training camp begins. I think it's called the phase three plan. Is that right?
You got it right, Asmir, yeah.
July 26th, the teams will come to the hub cities, 28th to the 30th exhibition games, and then the first round of qualifiers start. I mean, talk to me a little bit about the setup of this. I mean, there's obviously qualifiers because seeding and Edmonton actually being one of those teams that just missed out on those top four spots. This has some big implications because obviously the draft order and, you know, the main draft pick this year being Alexis Lafreniere. Is that my pronunciation?
You got it,
right?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So a lot of these things are going to get here quite heated up here pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm really impressed, Asmir. You're a goalkeeper on a Serie A club, and you've got lots of games and matches and travel, and you're right up to date, not to mention the time zone difference. But so great work on your part in just knowing this because of your love for not only soccer but hockey as well. Yeah, I mean, it's Edmonton. If they had won their last game, which was the last game prior to the NHL pause against Winnipeg, they would have been among the top four. So the top four teams will play a seeding round to see exactly how they will finish. And then the other four teams in the Western Conference that normally, you know, you have eight teams per conference. Well, those four teams will play a play-in schedule because, you know, there wasn't an exact amount of games played by every team. So it was difficult. They talked about going on winning percentage. In the end, some teams that likely wouldn't have made the playoffs have at least a shot in the play-in system. And that brings you back to that first overall pick. So a team like Edmonton that was sitting second in their division will play Chicago. Now, if Edmonton loses in the play-in, well, the bad news is they've lost. The good news is they've got a 12.5% chance of getting the first overall pick. So it's a bit of a weird system, but our world is really different. So it's been an adjustment on the fly. As for the games, I mean, lock it down. I mean, I've talked to so many people who are booking their holidays so they can watch. You know, you've got three games going on in Edmonton a day, and you've got three in Toronto. So, I mean, you're talking about six games a day and taking into account the Edmonton time zone. You can start watching your first game at 10 in the morning and literally not be done. And again, we don't know. It's playoffs. They have to have a winner. This isn't the regular season. You're talking about probably a minimum of 12 to 14 hours of coverage per day. And that's not building in, you know, I know the NHL loves overtime, but they really don't want to get into having like, you know, a double or triple overtime. For the play-in, they will have what the NHL has right now is a 5-minute overtime, 3-on-3, and then a shootout. They just can't afford to sort of fall behind even before they get into the official playoffs. So it's just, it's so exciting. I mean, I think that a lot of people normally right now are watching Serie A and have been watching the soccer return. And that's kind of the summer sports along with, you know, baseball. But with not having that, people are, they're gung-ho and they're set to go for hockey, even if this is the time of year that people in Canada normally are out in their cottages and their cabins and are traveling around the world, really.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, we sort of labeled a bit of a football feast over here, and yeah, everyone's enjoyed having games on every single night and them coming in such quick fashion. So I think the same way, once the NHL, the NBA, MLB starts, you're going to have an absolute sports feast. So the fans will be, we'll be all over it. Gene Principe joining me here on the Season of Sports, sports and reporter over in Edmonton, Canada, talking about the NHL restart. Now, Gene, I want to now look at a little bit some of the teams. We'll get into our Oilers. We're going to say the best to last, of course. We're going to dive into those guys. But looking at some of these teams, I mean, we've got the defending Stanley Cup champions, the St. Louis Blues, best regular season record so far, the Boston Bruins. How do you see this kind of, is there going to be a benefit to any of this? I mean, some of these teams have gotten a little bit healthier. Columbus has gotten a little bit healthier. So how do you look at these teams? I mean, who's your favorite? Who do you like? Any standout players going forward into this?
Well, I think I got to start with the two teams you mentioned. I mean, they were the Stanley Cup finalists last year, a game seven, you know, there really was a sliver to choose from between Boston and St. Louis. Boston has, you know, they're as close to somewhat being a, not a dynasty, but one of those clubs. It's not easy to get to the Stanley Cup final or get far into the playoffs, but they're one of those clubs that really year in and year out are built to do it. And St. Louis, I haven't seen anything from them that suggests that they are or have been a one-year wonder. I think Asmir, as has been the case, you know, in Serie A, you come back from having months off. It's a bit uncertain as to how this will get going. And you mentioned it. I mean, it's not like there's a true exhibition schedule. Training camp is very brief. There's, you know, there's no regular season games. It's like right at it. So every game means a lot and could mean between, you know, staying in and having the chase for the cup continue or being out. I'm curious to see a goaltender like Jordan Binnington, who kind of took the National Hockey League by storm and was, if not the biggest reason, very close to the reason the St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup. I mean, goaltending is always important, but I, as you would know, especially, but when you get into these playoffs, I mean, that's why teams are a bit concerned about Montreal, because they've got Carey Price. Montreal would not have made the playoffs, but now they're in. And if he gets hot and a couple players get hot, suddenly you've got a team that didn't seem to have any opportunity to go far into the playoffs. You only have to hit a hot streak for a certain amount of time, and suddenly you might find yourself all the way through. So it's just, so even myself, I've been kind of prepping, getting ready for it, because you've almost somewhat forgotten. It's been 4+ months and now you're like, okay, let's get going. You know, everyone's giddy up. There's no time to rest. Let's have this happen and see where it takes everybody.
Yeah. Well, 100%. I mean, you look at how much goaltending means in the playoffs, it's an absolute huge factor, right? So, and I think a lot of sports, there's no time for a cold streak here. I mean, if you better hit the ground running. So that's going to be important. I mean, some of the stars sitting out, we've got Max Domi of the Canadiens sitting out. Mike Green, obviously, that trade deadline pickup for the Oilers. I mean, any other big names that we might not see during this restart?
You know, it's a great question, Asmir. On Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern time, 3 p.m. Edmonton time, is the cutoff for players to withdraw. You know, the vote to ratify the CBA was nearly 80%. So that's 80 now, 80% of all the National Hockey League. So now you're down to maybe 20% who either didn't like the CBA or don't like the hub city setup or maybe both. So the numbers are dwindling. And I think, Asmir, because of where the hub cities are You know, I look at Edmonton, and I'm not a doctor, and I don't play one on TV. But since this pandemic started, Edmonton has had, you know, just over 1,000 cases and 15 deaths. So it's been incredibly safe. And I think that's the key, is that, you know, those that are married, have kids on the way, maybe have two or three children. We've seen it in the MLB. Some players have just said, you know what, I'm out. Here, I don't expect any big names. I think by now, and it's only Friday that everything was ratified. Right now, we're at about a half dozen players. Max Domi really is the biggest name so far. And Max, you know, has diabetes, so has some potential complications. But people are feeling pretty comfortable about doing this. They may not like, you know, being in the bubble for potentially 2 months, but they like the idea of playing for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And I think they're able to push aside what is the biggest concern for everybody around the world, medical, for the opportunity to win something that either they've already won and want to do again, or have never won before.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The competitive spirit will take over in the end. That's for sure. And once these games get going, they'll get pretty competitive and feisty. That's there's no way around that. So now it's time to talk about our Oilers.
Yes, let's do it. I know you are. I love it.
I've got to talk about the Oilers, and any reason to talk about the Oilers is good enough for me. So, by the way, let these early starts continue, because I've always struggled with watching the live games. So if I can catch a bit of ice hockey now over here, it's, I wish it was kind of a little bit earlier, because, you know, we might be on vacation or something as this thing kicks off.
Yeah, you're right.
Loved it over here while we've been stuck in hotels and stuff, but anyway, can't have it all, right? But the Oilers, I mean, as you said, just missed out on those top four seeds, but very much in the race for this whole thing. And, you know, we'll see if they're good enough to make that run all the way to the finals. Being at home could be a nice advantage. As you said, Mike Green was a big, important pickup for Ken Holland, the trade deadline, but he's going to be sitting out. But nonetheless, you have Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, and that's a pretty good starting point for most teams, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of where you start and where you finish. I mean, those two guys, you know, 1-2 in scoring. Leon has been, you know, it's interesting, Asbjørn, and I know you follow the team. It seems like about 10 years ago that people thought, oh, you know, he's kind of riding Connor's coattails. He can't drive his own line. He's scored his 50 goals because he's alongside McDavid. And I think Leon took that theory and just blew it up and said, no, not the case at all. 110 points. Connor at, ironically, 97 with 97, even though he missed seven games. I mean, they would be truly line mates, teammates, and they'd be neck and neck in the scoring race, you know, if Connor hadn't missed those seven games. I don't see Leon being, you know, any worse. He's had, you know, time off like everybody, but he hasn't been, he certainly wasn't this year a slow starter. Connor has not been a slow starter when you take previous off seasons. And I think, Asmir, people are starting to think that Connor, this might do Connor some good, which is weird to say because he did have 97 points and, you know, is the best player or top two, top three, whatever way you want to slice it up. But he never really had a chance to train last offseason. He was rehabbing his knee. So the feeling is that he was skating before many people. He was working out before many people were. And that he could come back even better, which is kind of scary to think for opposing teams. But those two and those two on separate lines has become really a revelation for the Oilers. I don't know where they would be if they were together all the time, incredible numbers, but I don't know where they would be regarding the playoffs. So being on separate lines has been, you know, some people might say, well, what's a big deal? Stroke of genius for Dave Tippett, not to only think it, but to do it and to follow through with it. It's allowed both players to flourish and it's allowed the team to flourish.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I think spreading that joy around a little bit has been key to the Oilers' success. I mean, one of the key players going forward will be Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. I think he's been a big part of Leon's success. So if he can keep that going and be a big part of that. I guess the thing we also have to touch on is, well, what's the biggest question mark for the Oilers? And I think that could be, we're talking about one of the main things for playoff success is the goaltending. Now, the NHL is very much trending into that whole co-goaltending duo. sharing the load a little bit, and the Oilers are a perfect example of Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen. But in the playoffs, it's probably safe to say you do need that one guy. Now, Dave Tippett has leaned a little bit more towards Mike Smith to their previous relationship and maybe his superior puck handling skills. Do you think they'll go with one guy? How do you see this playing out?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question, and I love your mentioning of Ryan Nugent-Hopkins because he made a big difference with Leon towards the latter part of the campaign here before the pause was hit. I mean, it's kind of weird. They're trying to find a winger for Connor McDavid. I'm thinking, I'll put my hand up. I can't skate, but I could probably score a few anyways. So he's been really paramount to being able to flip back and forth between those one and two lines. Speaking of one and two goaltenders, I think Edmonton probably as much as anyone. I mean, you look at the numbers of Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen, it's almost split right down the middle. One might have a little bit of a better save and percentage and goals against average, but one might have won, you know, another game or two. I think because you mentioned it, Asmir, the previous relationship, more experience of Mike Smith is, you know, I don't think there's a job to be lost in training camp. A goaltender would have to be, you know, literally like letting a beach ball through to some extent for the goal or the coach say, you know, I'm not comfortable with this guy right now. So I would agree with you that Mike Smith would be the starter. Not that the coach would be ready to give him the hook fast, but I think it's almost a win and you're in, relatively speaking. If you have a 48 save performance and you lose 1-0, that doesn't mean you're coming out. But in this play-in series, which is a best of five, you don't really have time for anyone, particularly a goalie, to kind of find that groove. So I think Edmonton's in a 1-1-A. They'd be happy to have a goalie go through in the traditional way of the Marty Brodeurs and even much longer ago, Grant Fuhr. They'd play 70-plus games in the regular season, and then they would play every game in the playoffs. But in this case, I think they're open to doing what they've done in the regular season. It worked in the regular season. It could work in the playoffs. Just your sample size is so much smaller. So you really have to feel like that other guy is going to be better than the current guy that you have in net. But I see them being open to a 1-2 scenario with the idea that if a guy can get hot, just like a player gets hot and is hot with goals, that if a goaltender is hot, and in this case, potentially Mike Smith to start, that they would ride him and take him as far as they could.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting to see how they play that one. But things are looking good for the Oilers. I think very much, very optimistic for the playoffs here. For the restart, and of course, in the playoffs as well. So hopefully everything works out for them. Before I let you go, Gene, we do have a question in from one of our listeners on social media. And we want to ask that to you. What media are allowed into the bubble? How will the game be called if you are not in the bubble? And can Gene make a deal to do his puns before every hockey game? So there you go.
Well, I'll try. I'm not sure that's on the table with the NHL, but I'll check with Mr. Bettman if and when I see him or talk to him. I'll see if we can make a deal for that. It's a great question regarding the media because we're still – so there's three options. There's you're in the bubble and you're like a player or staff member, and once you're in, and that could be as long as 65 days. So there's that where you would just be from the rink to the hotel in the secure zone. So that's part one. Part two is an in and out access where myself and a limited amount of media would go in the same door every day. We'd go to the same spot every day. We would social distance. We would leave from the same exit as we entered. And that would be our access. We would not have any access. We're still going to, with Zoom calls that we've become so accustomed to in sports and business and life with family, that is our only access at this point. So even if I'm in the arena, I'm not going to go stand beside a player or a traditional player like we had those interviews. That won't be happening. And then the third option is you're not in at all. You might be at home. You might be at an office. You might be outside, kind of watching the game on a TV, your laptop, having access to watching the game. And then when the game's over, you'll have the Zoom call post-game interviews. And then you'll sort of jump into action and start doing whatever in our case, Sportsnet has asked of me. So it's either you're in all the time, you're out all the time, or there's a limited in and out. So you're a partial part of the bubble, but not a full part.
Actually, a follow-up question on that. What, broadcasters, are they going to be allowed? Are they going to be part of that bubble team?
Yeah, that's another question that we're answering. Basically, how it works, Asmir, is that Sportsnet is the national rights holder, so they put together a checklist of what they would like. They then forward that on to the National Hockey League, and under these circumstances, the National Hockey League figures out what's safest, then what's best. So we're still determining whether our broadcast teams, who would normally be standing rinkside on the concourse level or up in the press box, having a view of the broadcast or of the ice, will be calling these off televisions. We don't know for sure. The belief is that they will be part of that partial bubble. Well, they'll be able to come in, call the game like they normally would, and then exit right away with no access to players. That isn't 100% guaranteed, but answers that we expect to know for sure this week.
Well, Gene, I can't thank you enough for your time. Well, obviously, maybe not too many hockey fans over here in Italy, but I couldn't be more excited about the NHL restart. So I'll try and spread that interest around a little bit. But thank you so much for your time. Guys, make sure you check out Gene. He's on Twitter, he's on Instagram. So make sure you follow his pages and his amazing reporting of the NHL and just sports all around. So, Gene, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the restart. Stay safe, of course, with your family and everyone. But can't wait to have hockey on again.
And you know what, Asmir, really appreciate that. Same to you and all of your listeners. And I got to say, you know, I met you, well, probably 20 years ago, and you had a dream, and the dreams come true. And even though you're no longer in Edmonton, obviously your connection to Edmonton and hockey is still there. And we're real proud of what you have accomplished and continue to accomplish. So keep it up.
Thank you so much, Gene. Take care.
You too.
What a great show we had there with Gene Principe joining me to talk about the NHL restart. Can't wait. As you guys know, I'm a sports nut, and just getting hockey on again is going to be awesome. And my Oilers are thick in the mix. Hub City, those Edmontonians will love having hockey there. I just wish they could go to the games and be there, and it would be such an amazing atmosphere for all the players as well. But anyway, it's going to be great to have hockey on again. Well done to everyone for organizing, getting there. It's going to be fun to watch some really good teams. Going to be on show, and can't wait to get this whole thing going. So, guys, thank you for listening as always. Appreciate the question. That was a great question for Gene on Twitter. That was awesome. Keep getting your questions in each and every week. I'll answer as many as I can. Keep following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And, of course, listen to us on all your platforms, Audioboom, Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, wherever you get your podcasts from. And, you know, I'll be back with you guys very, very soon. Stay safe out there, and thanks for all your support.